Well, can I invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I was going to begin by asking, how was your summer? Not that I'm expecting you all to shout out the answers or anything, but I wonder how your summer was. Or maybe you're saying, well, what summer was that? Well, it wasn't too bad. Sure, the weather wasn't too bad. But here we are at the beginning of a new season, and the weather this morning has reminded us of the summer days are gone for another year. But there'll be a few good days because we have to get the harvest in. There'll be a few good days, so we don't worry about that. September always marks the beginning, obviously, of another church year. And I wonder this morning, are you ready for another church year? I remember somebody years and years ago, you might have asked them a question, and this person might have said, well, maybe I am and maybe I'm not. Maybe you feel a bit like that this morning. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. It's a very normal thing, a very natural thing, I think, to struggle a little bit to maybe get over that post-summer hump, call it what you want. But hopefully today this word from the living God, from his word, will help us and encourage us and inspire us as we think ahead into the coming season. Though as we turn, as we now do, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, it begins on a somewhat discouraging note, but we have to take all of the word of God, the things that encourage and the things that discourage. So let me this morning, as we turn for a little while to this passage, draw your attention. I want to draw your attention basically to four things. There's a lot more than four things in this chapter, but four things that have been laid on my heart. And first of all, what I've just called the abandoning of faith. The very first verse you will see there, Paul is writing to young Timothy. And Paul says under God in verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Very strong language indeed. Paul, just a few sentences prior to this, and you can see it there at the end of what we have in chapter 3 and verse 15, he has been speaking about the church of Jesus Christ, this group of people that God is gathering together, saved by the grace of God and redeemed. And he describes them there in chapter 3 and verse 15 as the pillar and foundation of the truth. And remember that. Never forget that the church of Jesus Christ is the pillar and the foundation of the truth of the Word of God. The church of Jesus Christ is meant to be that institution that defends the faith and stands up for the gospel and for the Word of God in every age and in every generation. And Paul says to young Timothy, this is what God is doing, but not everyone will listen. Not everyone will want to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, essentially, 1 Timothy chapter 4 is a warning. Paul is warning Timothy about false teachers that are going to arise, and false teachers who actually are seeking to undermine Timothy. He is the, if you like, the pastor, the minister, the servant. But others have come and they seek to undermine this young man of God. And Paul is seeking to do a couple of things here. He's seeking to warn Timothy, look, Timothy, don't be surprised at what's happening here, but stand firm. Now, in my exposition, and it's not a full exposition of this whole chapter because time will not allow for that. And so we can't go into all the details of it this morning. But really, I want to focus at this moment on the fact Paul speaks here of the abandoning of faith. And that took a particular way of turning in the first century. It happens in every century. It happens in every generation. Ours is no different. These things that Paul speaks about here are present in every age. But it's the abandoning of faith today, if you like, that I maybe want to focus on just for a few moments. And it seems so inadequate and inappropriate almost to try and speak about such a huge subject in a few moments. I'm not going to bandy around statistics, but it is a well-known statistic, in fact, that we live, you and I live in an age of decline. And numbers of people going out to church across our nation and these islands in which we live. Today, they are significantly smaller than 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago. And in a very broad sense, that is an abandoning, and I'm talking very generally here, an abandoning of the faith. And we can all think of people in our families and in our circles that at most will sit loosely to the things of God. And at worst, may even give an impression of just, I'm not interested in that whatsoever. And it's very, very sad, and it's very, very difficult and even slightly emotional, because we are all attached to people, and we can think of people, some who are desperately close to us, and yet at this moment in time, there seems to be a walking away. Now, I'm not suggesting that we take a lax view of this. Well, how could we take a lax view of that? But I am saying today that we should neither be surprised by it, nor stunned into a kind of state of inactivity. Like an unnamed Premier manager, I'll not name the team, that'll be a distraction, said just actually recently, you can work it out who said this, we need to up our game. Now, I'm not talking just about here in Kilkeel. I'm talking generally. We live in an age where there is a walking away from the things of Christ. And it does always strike me that the world, even though it may walk away, still observes and watches the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, remember this, we are not going to fix this walking away. It's only God that can fix those things. But can I make this simple suggestion that we can, and this is true not only here but in every church, we can create an environment in which God will fix it and in which God will move. In other words, in our life and in our work and in our service in and through the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, we live in a difficult age. We live in an age where there is a walking away from the things of God. But let us, by God's grace and with prayer and diligence, let us seek to be the very best that we can be in serving Jesus, to create a community that people will notice, a light in the darkness, salt in the rottenness, and all of those beautiful and challenging things. And let me, and I'll not get sidetracked in this, but let me just make one little point of application here as to one way in which we, and this is true of every church, that we can up our game in this age of abandoning of faith. Love one another. There's a word from the Lord for our congregation, for every congregation in this age. I was reading just in my quiet time, just the other day, John 13, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you profess to be a believer this morning, let me challenge you in this age of abandoning of the things of God. Let the world observe us and let them see that we are different from an unbelieving, judgmental, gossiping, unloving world. Let them see a different community. Let us love one another. But let me move on. We have the abandoning of faith here. And as I said, what I'm doing this morning is, it's not a full exposition of this passage, but it's a drawing out of some of the principles. So there's the abandoning of faith. But notice, secondly, the training of faith. Paul goes on in these verses to say, Timothy, here's the situation. There's all sorts of stuff going on. There's false teaching. There's people trying to undermine you. All sorts of difficult things. But verse 6, if you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good minister of Christ, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Those are around in every generation. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Every day, every week, we are now bombarded with a very sensible message, I'm sure, that we all need to be taking more exercise. Physical exercise is good for you. And I understand, growing up on a farm, the farmers maybe say, well, goodness, I don't need to be going out for too many walks or my daily run or my daily cycle because I'm working jolly hard, and so we'll maybe let the farmers off this one. But we all need exercise. Now, I'm not here to talk about physical exercise, but you know the story. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul acknowledges 2,000 years ago that physical exercise is of some value, and indeed it is. But he says you also need spiritual exercise. You also need spiritual training. Let me put it this way, folks, and I want you to think about this. We live in an age which, as I say, every week, every month, every year brings amazing changes in our society. The rate of change of technology and social media and all of these things is staggering. It seems that we live in an age where the things that once were certain are no longer certain anymore, according to the world, of course, not according to the church. Society is deeply influenced by unbelief and all of that kind of thing. The church is being rejected by many, not least amongst the younger generation. Remember reading the words of Richard Foster, Celebration of Discipline? And he said this. He said, the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people even, but for deep people, people who really know God. And how true that is. How true that is. As the world does its thing, what's our response to be? We can jump into the bunker and close the lid and say, tut, tut, awful old place. I want nothing to do with it. That's all very well and good, apart from Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to be light in the darkness. I want you to be salt in the midst of all of that stuff. And we're nearly tempted to say, I don't want anything to do with it, Lord. But the Lord says, well, actually, you're in the world. You're not of the world. You're different. And you say, well, how can I do something? How can I make a difference? And that's what we're about here. Paul says to young Timothy, Timothy, you need to train yourself to be godly, to be like Christ. You need to go into a wee bit of training. And again, we could spend time on that, but what are the basics? Well, the basics, you know the basics. And this is why at the beginning of this new season and this new term, I want to bring you back to the basics. Brother and sister in Christ, at the beginning of this new term, if you are not much in the main things, to use an old phrase, you will struggle. That's why the old, our forefathers of old, had that phrase, be much in the main things. What are the main things? Well, the main things are daily intake of the Word of God. The main things are talking to your Heavenly Father in prayer. The main things are the duty of attending public worship. Let me again say this, not in a scolding way, but in a gracious way and yet a firm way. Resist the temptation and the spirit of the age, even amongst people who profess to be Christians. Well, I'll go to church every other week, every third week, every second week. We are losing ground, folks, if that is what the way we are thinking. Our forefathers, your forefathers, would be horrified by such a thought. Weekly public worship was not an option. It was a duty. And weekly public worship, two diets of worship, is what they would be saying. So, folks, take that in the spirit that it's given and the training of faith. Some of us were up at the special assembly. Let me just say a wee word about that. Time is going on too quickly here. The special assembly at Coleraine, and you will hear a wee bit more about that at some stage. But it was good. It was all about everyday disciples and how we're called to be disciples every day, whatever we're doing, working on the farm, working at home, working in the school, in your leisure time, whatever, wherever you need to live for Jesus. One of the principles that came out quite a lot was how, as Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 12, how ministers and pastors are called to equip the saints for works of service. And again, we'll say more about this. But folks, that's part of the training of faith. That's why we encourage people to come to public worship. It's not just to put in an hour. It's so that hopefully through the worship and the singing, but especially through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, that you might be equipped, helped to go out and to live as disciples. And we need to all work at that. The training of faith. The example of faith, exemplifying is maybe not a word that we use that much, but the example of faith, let me be very brief here. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Paul says to young Timothy, look, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech and in life and in love and in faith and in purity. We've talked about example before. And the power of a good example. Somebody once said, one example is worth 1,000 arguments. D.L. Moody once said, more depends on my walk than my talk. Now, D.L. Moody did a lot of talking, but he also did a lot of walking. And one of the reasons that God used that man, I believe, was that his walk backed up his talk. And folks, it's as simple as that. If your walk, day by day, at home, school, work, if it doesn't back up your talk, something really badly wrong. Badly wrong. And God will not bless that. And folks, if we as a church, I'm not suggesting we are, but if we as a church, if any church was full of people whose walk did not back up their talk, God, I believe, in many ways, probably would be very slow to bless that church. So let's take this, and we could spend time, and we don't have the time this morning, but go away home today and this week and think about verse 12. Think about your speech. What's your speech like? Think about your life. Think about your love for the Lord and for one another. Think about your faith. Think about your purity in this very, very impure, sex-obsessed world in which we live Are we pure? The example of faith. What's your example? At home, in the church, in your business, in your group, in your association, in your lodge, in your neighborhood. Be an example for God and for good. God will bless you. And the last thing, just as we finish, is the progressing of faith. Verse 15. Did you notice that? Verse 15. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Your progress. I was asking the children and talking to them about how they progress in playing the games or whatever it is. Folks, let me ask you this morning as I finish. How are you as a believer compared to this time last year? What progress in the faith have you made by the grace of God? Now, you understand what I'm saying. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. Salvation is never by works. I'm not suggesting we in any way add to our salvation by what we do. You know that. But we are called to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. So how's our progress? How's your progress? And we could spend time in thinking about how we measure that. But let me say this as I finish. As you look into the coming autumn and winter season, how do you see it and what do you hope to achieve? If you just see this coming season as another church circuit, you probably will become weary in well-doing. But if you see it as an opportunity to serve, and there are still many opportunities, and I'm not going to go into it this morning at this point at the end of this service, there are still many opportunities and vacancies, if I could use that word, within this local congregation where we need people to serve. And can I just throw that out there? Don't sit on the edges. Make it known that you're willing to serve. John Wesley once said, do all the good that you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can. For as long as ever you can. My goodness, he didn't leave much out. My primary role as a pastor is to preach the gospel, to pastor people, and to equip the saints for service. And as you pray for me in that role, I will pray for you, that God will help us, despite the abandoning of faith, that God will help us to be a people who are progressing, being a good example, and going on with the Lord. And if that's the case, then this coming autumn, winter, spring season is nothing to dread. It will be a time of blessing. A brief prayer, and then we sing. Father in heaven, we thank you for a sense of your presence. We commit our time to you now and pray that you'll bless us as we sing this closing hymn. And then as we spend this afternoon and return for evening worship, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.